the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Thanks, Nat. So, good morning, everybody. I'm Jack. I'd like to add my welcome to Nat and Joe and Laura. If you're a student here for the first time, Joe said she arrived as a student 20 years ago. For me, it was 16 years ago. So if this is your first day, get comfortable, because you might be here for longer than you think. Now, I came as a student from East London. So that means two unfortunate facts. Firstly, I support West Ham. There's at least three of us in the room. And secondly, growing up, I didn't really understand what Harvest was all about. Okay, living in inner London, didn't really get it. For me, Harvest was kind of the name of an assembly we did at school once a year, where we'd sing songs about vegetables, and this would be at the front. I don't know if anybody recognises that. To be honest, I've got no idea what it's all about. There was a really nice loaf of bread that was kind of plaited to look like some kind of thing. Wheat, maybe? I don't know. I don't know who got to eat it. It wasn't me. But it was really interesting. But again, I don't really get it. Growing up in London, I was quite far away from where the food was produced. For me, food was just something that came from the supermarket, and God didn't really have anything to do with it. Well, I've been living in Devon now for a good 16 years, and I've been to, like, at least three farms. and not just the ones with the soft play, but, like, real ones. So I'm a bit more understanding about now where food comes from. But Harvest is a really good time to not just remember where our food comes from, but it's a good time to remember that actually everything we have is a gift from God. We sometimes think about things that belong to us, like my car. That's not my car, by the way. My money, my house. But Harvest is a really good time to remember that nothing we have really belongs to us. It's all given to us by God. Now, farmers understand this because they kind of see it really viscerally. They may work really hard to plant the seeds and sow all the seeds, but if there's not enough rain, or if there's too much rain, or if there's the wrong kind of rain, or something to do with insects, then the harvest doesn't grow. And there are loads of different processes that they rely upon, which they have no control over. So they can see that, really, it's God that's providing the food that they grow. Now, that's why in our passage today, Paul uses the image of a farmer and bread. He says, God is the one who gives seed to the farmer, and he gives bread for food. And God will give you all the seed you need and make it grow. He will make a great harvest from your goodness. Now, it can be difficult at first to know what Paul's really talking about here. Is he talking about physical seed and bread, or is he talking about something more spiritual? It seems to be talking about the harvest of goodness. Is this something a bit more spiritual? And I think the reason we find it hard to really understand whether this is talking about physical need or spiritual need is because we kind of have this separation in our lives between things that are for us and things that are for God. We might have our interests and our daily needs and our sports and our jobs. There are things, and then there's things that we give to God, like our prayers and our church going and all those sorts of things. But Paul very much doesn't see the world like this. For Paul, the Venn diagram looks like this, that actually God is in control of everything, and our daily needs and our bread and our seed, that is all part of God's provision as well. That is from God, and God provides everything in our life. And that's something that we need to recognize. And a time like Harvest is a good time to recognize that it's not just our spiritual needs that come from God, but God provides everything in our lives. Everything we have is from God and given to us by God. So the first thing to us to remember today is that God is the God of all life. Everything we have comes from God. So what should that lead to? Well, for Paul, that leads to thanks, to gratitude. In our passage, it says, thanks be to God for his gift that is too wonderful to explain. The NIV says it's an indescribable gift. It's hard to know what to say about something that's indescribable. But it is, isn't it? If God has given us everything, if God has provided everything in our lives, then that is pretty hard to describe how grateful we should be. And Paul would know, and as Christians, we know that it's more than just our physical needs that God has provided. He's given us Jesus. He's given us the greatest gift of all. He saved us from our sins. So that is a really indescribable gift. Not only has he given us everything, but we should be incredibly grateful to God for what he has given us. So we've had a Venn diagram, a bit more maths. Oh, no, not that yet. Gratitude. Paul talks about gratitude in this passage. And there's all sorts of stuff out there in the world about gratitude. If you go to a bookshop or online, you'll find gratitude journals all over the place. And there's thousands of them. There's podcasts about gratitude. There's loads of studies that show the benefits of gratitude. You'll see here it's got improved mental health. There's reduces stress. It improves your sleep. Lots of people are practicing gratitude as a way of improving their life. But I think all this kind of talk about practicing gratitude misses the key point. And that's that when we are showing gratitude, we're showing gratitude to a person. And for us, we're showing gratitude to God. So gratitude is not about what we get from it. Gratitude is about putting God back on the throne and recognizing that he is the one who provides for us and was the one that we should be grateful to. So we need to recognize that God is the God of all life and that we should be grounded in gratitude to God for that. And here's the maths. What does that lead to? Well, that should lead to generosity. And this passage that Nat read for us is all about Paul encouraging the Corinthians to be generous in their giving to the believers in Jerusalem. And Paul describes three results of that generosity. Before we go into those three results of generosity, it's important to say that giving isn't all about what we get back. We can sometimes see generosity as a bit like a transactional thing, that if we give God money, then we get blessings. But we don't want that to be the reason that we're giving. We don't want to see God as some kind of slot machine, that if we give enough, eventually we'll hit the jackpot and God will give us a big blessing back. Because that's not the motivation that Paul wants for us. Paul wants our motivation to be those first two points that we've talked about. God being the provider, God the God of all of our lives, and then having gratitude for God's generosity. That should lead to free and happy generosity from us. So what are those three things that Paul promises God will do if we're generous? Well, the first one is about God blessing us. God will make you rich in every way so that you can always give freely. If we give generously from our heartfelt gratitude for the things that God has given for us, God will continue to provide for us so that we can keep on giving. It's a bit like a circle of gratitude and circle of giving. We give not so that we get back, but so that we can keep on giving. And God will provide for our needs so that we can keep on giving. Notice as well, it doesn't just talk about finances. It's not just about money. God will make you rich in every way. In a little while, Joe's going to come and talk to us about the fruits of the Spirit. And I believe that if we're generous, then God will provide us fruits of the Spirit that we can then be generous with other people. The second thing that Paul talks about is that our service will help to meet the needs of God's people. That kind of seems like the obvious one. If people have a need and we give to meet that need, then we're meeting their needs. But it's really important. In this building, there are needs all over the place. In this city, there are people who have needs. And the way that God meets those needs is by using his people, by using us to meet people's needs. So we want to be really open to finding out what those needs are for the people in this building, finding out what the needs are in the city and responding to those needs and giving in the way that will meet those needs. One way that we can do that is for our house groups and our home groups, that by getting to know a sort of small group of Christians and finding out what it is that we can do for each other, then we can really serve each other in that way. Finally, the final thing that Paul talks about in terms of what we get as a result of our generosity, this is probably the most important one of all. Paul says that our service, our generosity, will prove our faith. People will see our giving, our generosity, and it will show them that what we say we believe, we actually believe. We're not just sort of saying empty words. We're not just telling the story, but we're also living the life. If people see our generosity and our good works and our open and happy giving, then they will see that we actually believe the gospel. So giving and generosity is an act of worship in itself. It gives people a glimpse of the gospel and points them towards Jesus. Paul talks about the harvest of goodness, and I truly believe that if we're generous and we give and we meet the needs of people around us, that will point people to the gospel, and it will give them a glimpse of what it is that makes us want to be generous and want to give, because we have understood the generosity of God. So that's what we want to believe today Harvest is all about. It's all about bringing people to Jesus and showing people that it's him that they need. That is their greatest need. Joe's going to come up now and help us respond to that.